Hear now the word of God from Micah chapter 6, in which God tells us what he so desperately desires of us. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Today, as you can see from that little bumper video, is our summer celebration this Sunday. Pretty much every year, we look back and we see what God has been doing in our lives and in the life of our church together and celebrate some things and tell some stories. And then we look forward. And today, we're going to have a little bit to kind of tell you some things to look forward to in the fall and some of the exciting plans that we have and to begin to unite and pray around some specific things that will impact Broadway's future. And then we will come together in Holy Communion at the end of the service and unite all of that in our shared story in Jesus Christ. So I'm so glad that you are here. It's a little bit different day. It's not so much a sermon as it is kind of walking through our mission of invite, grow, and serve and celebrating that. And I know we're not Baptist, but somebody shared a joke with me this week that kind of helps me understand what we're doing. And you know why Baptists don't like soccer? Have you heard this? Because it lasts 90 minutes and sometimes doesn't get to 3 points. And today's sermon will not be 90 minutes. Today's service will not be 90 minutes. But we will try to get to 3 points. And some of you who have no idea, like, what is that? It's not really that funny. I told that to Jenny yesterday and she thought I had made it up. It's not. It's a real joke. It's a real joke. And we love the Baptists, so you all love your 3 points too. So I'm glad you are here. We're going to talk through our mission, which happens to be 3 points, invite, grow, and serve. See where I was going with that. And that life, that rhythm of our lives, invite, leading to grow, leading to serve, leading to invite, is our lifeblood. It is our rhythm. It is the drumbeat of the life of Broadway. And it is worth celebrating. Is worth remembering in its power in our own lives and then through us for the world. And so that's what we will do. We will tell some stories around that mission and begin to think about how that will propel us into the future as we look back and then as we propel forward. So we begin today reminding us of the power of invite, the first word of our mission, that we are invited to come fully alive in a relationship with Christ. And that invitation from God to us is the most impactful thing about us, the thing that identifies us and becomes core of who we are, and then becomes an important part of what we're doing in the world, extending grace through our actions, through the way we parent, through how we live our lives. And the church is part of that invite in some powerful ways. The church in every time and every place has the unbelievable privilege of extending the welcome of God to people. And when the day comes that every person knows that they are loved, that they are children of God, that they have a family, then we'll put this part of our mission aside. But as you know, we live in a world where people don't know that and where we need ourselves to be reminded of those core truths And we need to create a safe place. The church is like a special context where grace can get in there for each one of us and extend the wide welcome of God to the world. Anytime we take risks to get into the messiness of loving people, we're joining with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves outward to cross all boundaries and to love all people. We are caught up in this movement of grace. This is what we mean by invite. The poet Hafiz writes this, and this is, I pulled this from the book Tattoos on the Heart, which some of you read this summer. Greg Boyle shares this as well. He writes this: admit something. Everyone you see, you say to them, love me. Now, you don't do this out loud, of course, or otherwise someone would call the cops. Still, though, think about this great pull in each of us to connect. Why not become the one who lives with full moons in each eye and is always saying what every other eye is dying to hear? The church keeps saying what every other eye is dying to hear, that you are a beloved child of God, and that defines you more than anything else. And this weekend, I actually, Luke is swimming actually today even in North Carolina, and I flew to North Carolina and back, and I'm done with my flying. I had the same thing the week before. Coming back from Honduras, I'm done with planes. But sometimes when you're on an airplane, you kind of want to just kind of get in your mode, put your earbuds in, and be quiet and not talk to anyone. And sometimes you strike up a conversation, and you know there's this sort of spiritual discernment in trying to listen. And I had a little boy beside me. I shared this on Facebook. A little boy, a 12-year-old boy beside me, who turns out he goes to a Methodist church in Raleigh, and he was traveling with that. He and his sister were traveling out without mom and dad. And I was writing notes to some people at church, and I just kind of using my time. And he leans over and he said, "What are you doing?" And I kind of told him what I was doing. People are, you know, maybe they've come to church for the first time, and I'll write them a note, or if they have a birthday, they get a note. And he said, "Cool." And I said, "That's because I'm a pastor." And he said, "Oh, you're a pastor." And he thought a little bit and he said, "Got any Christian tips?" And my heart just melted for this kid. And I wrote him a little note on my business card, partly so mom would know that some creepy guy wasn't talking to him on the plane. But I was just so, I mean, like the heart of a child, right? Got any Christian tips? And so people ask on Facebook, what did you tell him? And you know, you could go through a long list of things that you could tell someone. And this is what I tried to say. Just never forget that it is all about how much God loves you. And no matter where you go in your life, you will never be alone. And he will be there to guide you. So my little prayer for him on my business card was, may God guide and bless you your entire life. This is what we want for every single person. And as we, as ordinary people and doing ordinary things, and I say this a lot, and Jenny and I were talking about this the other day, like this means just like, this is not grandiose stuff, and you may not think that you're doing enough, but as we are sitting on planes and as we are, which is an opportunity I usually don't take, or as we're raising our kids, as we are just simply being in our communities and in our families, these become sacred opportunities to extend grace, to look into someone else's eye with eyes full of God's grace and to tell them what they've been dying to hear. Earlier this summer, we shared a story about how we extended that invitation to Grace Lardy, and a lady from Africa who's a professor at Western. And we told her invite story, but as is often the case when we have these sort of video shoots, there's more content than we could share in one video. So today I want to show you sort of the rest of the story of Grace's story, and you may remember that, or if you didn't see that video, it won't hold you back any to see what's at play here. Because what Grace found here after a specific Sunday is what we want for every person. She came to church and wrestled with coming to church on the Sunday after the Charleston shooting in South Carolina, where 9 members of Emmanuel AME Church were killed. And Grace, being from Africa, recognized and felt that in a different way than many of us will. And this is a reminder of what we want for every person as they come to church, and what's so desperately needed. It's a reminder to me and to maybe to all of us as we're sitting in here, much like on an airplane, that we never know what's going on in the person next to us. And these are sacred moments. So let's watch Grace's story.
Yes, it was the Sunday after the Charleston shooting, and I really, really didn't feel comfortable coming to church that day. For some reason, I really didn't have the desire to get out of the house, but I managed to pull myself together to be in church. And we were sitting back there, and it just hit me again as to, you know, what happened and who was involved and, you know, how many people lost their lives and who those people were. And I looked around, and I believe Diane and I were the only black people in the church. And that was really tough. It was very, very tough. And so I looked back there, and Cindy and Ashley were sitting back there. So I asked myself if something similar should happen. I mean, who do I have? And, you know, looking at Cindy and Ashley, I mean, they had a wall protecting them, and pretty much I had the glass doors. And that's when I started crying. I started crying, and I was asking myself, so if it had happened in here, will I be a victim? And Cindy, I mean, she saw I was crying, so she took me back there, and a few people came back there and sat with me until they felt I was okay. And I came back to the service. So I believe it was that week, or maybe a couple of weeks later, when, you know, Pastor Adam came out and was talking about the security around the place, and said, no, they were not going to reveal what they were doing, but they are making sure everybody is safe in here. And that was really heartwarming. And I really didn't know what was put in place. But since I joined the choir, because I come in a little bit early, I noticed there were a few people around, and, you know, it feels very comforting to know that other people are looking out for everybody in the church, not just me. You know, not just me. It's been a journey. It's been a wonderful journey, and I've lived ever since I moved over here. I lived in Iowa before, and Iowa is predominantly white. Real white. So I'm pretty used to being by myself and being the only one who stands out. The only thing is, it's encouraging, and it makes me feel good when you realize there are other people who are looking out for you, and people who show a lot of interest in you. And if there is anything that has helped us in this service, it's the people who have shown so much interest, so much interest in us, and the way we've been embraced and the way we've been, you know, allowed to be part of everything. I remember the day they asked me to sing the song. I said, sure, I'll sing it. And I went home. I said, oh my gosh, what did I do to myself? You know, we don't know how to sing well, but hey, I was able to do it, and, you know, Diane is involved so much now in that, and that makes us feel very homey. We feel that we really, really are part of this big family, and that we have to contribute our part to ensure the family is successful.
Let's thank Grace for sharing that and being brave to share her story. When we use the word invite, what we do not mean is this trying to get bigger as a church, and sometimes that language is used. And what I hope we mean, and what I think we mean by the invitation of Jesus to people like Grace or at each one of us, is that we create a safe place. And that seems like a very basic thing. But in every way, a safe place for people to no longer be afraid and to have someone who is there for them. Those very basic things that she said. And I hope that you have that. I hope that every single person has that. And we want to be a place where that's true. I'm going to invite Pastor Laura up as we begin to tell how that has been our story of invite and welcome throughout our history, and then begin to look forward as we lean back into our history of being an inviting church, and then as we look forward to what that means and the decisions we'll be making in the future. We invite Laura Vincent. She's no stranger to you all, and I don't know where I'm just got on your wrong side. And Laura's official title is that she is our executive pastor of operations, which Jason Brown will be up in a second. He's an executive minister, and the three of us basically are the lead team on the staff. And between the three of us, we work with all of our staff. And Delara works especially with our leaders, our lay leaders as well, and is helping set some directives and some direction for us in the future. And we've been working. So, Laura, why don't you lean us back into our past and then propel us to the future.
One of the things that I love most about Broadway is that we have always been a community of people who have dared to believe that what is not yet can someday be. Back in the early 1900s, there was a Sunday school class from State Street Methodist Church that was meeting in a shoe store, and they began to have a dream of creating a new church on what was then the outskirts of town in Bowling Green, which was the intersection of Broadway and 31W, if you can imagine that. But they wanted to open up this new community so that people living right there in that area could be invited to come fully alive through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Ari Allison, one of those Sunday school class members, kind of famously stood on the floor of the annual conference and declared, "Give me $500 and a church will be built." It was a bold and a brave moment, but the money was granted, and Broadway came to be, and the rest, as they say, is history. If you'll fast forward with me a little bit into our future as a church, into the 1990s, yet again, the people of Broadway were this group of people who dared to believe that what was not yet could someday be. They were praying together. They were seeking to discern how God would lead them. And as they were listening, they felt like God was calling them to intentionally minister to children and their families. You need to understand, at this moment in our history as a church, there were only a handful of kids that were here, literally. But they had this dream, and they began to take bold and brave steps to move toward this dream becoming a reality. And so the doors to our Early Learning Center were opened to serve children in our community. Their families began to connect to our ministry. And soon a new service, a new worship service, had to be begun to accommodate our growth and to offer a new and different worship style that some of these families were seeking. It didn't take long after that for us to realize that we were going to need to create more space to invite more people to come fully alive through a relationship with Christ. And so our children's wing was built, and this room that you're sitting in today. From there, we felt like God was going to continue to call us to create these new spaces for people to enter our ministry. And as we sought God once again, we sensed that God was calling us to try out this new and different thing, something called multi-site. And so we found ourselves merging together with Greenwood UMC to open up our Greenwood campus, this place again on the outskirts of our town where people that lived in that part of our city could be connected to life-giving community. Now, today, we, the people of Broadway, have once again been daring to believe that what is not yet could someday be. We've been dreaming together about how it is that we could maximize the space that we have here on this campus so that we can invite more people to come fully alive through relationship with Christ. We've been dreaming about how it is that we could maximize the space on this campus so that we can come alongside more people and help them grow in their love for God and love for others. We've been dreaming about how it is that we could maximize the space here on this campus to send more people out to serve Christ for the transformation of our city and beyond. Our church council and our design team have been hard at work designing a master plan. They've listened very carefully to our congregation last summer about what our greatest needs were, and this plan will seek to address these needs. The need that was identified, the needs that were identified were, first of all, an intentional space for our youth ministry that is thriving, a space that provides classrooms for those students as well as for adults, and for our ELC ministry that continues to grow, as well as proper-sized classrooms for our elementary kids zone. We identified the need of our staff having some more office spaces and eventually the need for a new worship space so that others can connect to our mission and our ministry. As all of these needs are being addressed, something that we're paying very careful attention to is making sure that we move toward having a very clear front door for guests who are coming to worship with us, making a unified worship space, a unified welcome space, so that as people come in, you can mix and mingle with people from different services, improving the flow of our campus as you go from one place to another, and of course, taking care of our parking needs. This plan is in the process of being finalized and refined, but we hope to be able to present this plan to you in the fall. It's a plan that we won't be able to do all at once, but it is a plan that we will need to do in phases over an extended period of time, but in a very intentional way. And so this morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in praying, that God will make it very clear what our first step needs to be, and that God would give us the boldness and the bravery that we will need to dare to follow him wherever he might lead us.
Thanks, Lauren. I appreciate that. And just to kind of put a fine point on the fall, it's going to be a big time for us, right? So right now we've been having conversations with some of our leaders to help refine that master plan. There's a day coming in the next couple months where everybody's going to see that. We'll have lots of feedback, and we've had about three or four different levels of engagements with folks to try to listen well, and then we're going to all see that together and begin to hope and dream. And those are exciting times. People often say, like, growing pains are it's a good problem to have, and we've had that for a long time. But we want to be so intentional about seeking God's will with this and doing the right thing. And so appreciate the way you ended that. That's really the call right now for us, is to pray that God will lead us, and exciting things are ahead. So thanks, Les. Thanks, Laura, for sharing. Appreciate you. As we move to point two in sermon, we have the grow part of our mission, which is our stake in the ground that we are not stuck where we are, that life and vitality and joy and growth are possible in Christ, and that we can cooperate with God's grace, not fight against it as we often do, but work with God's grace in our own formation, becoming who God created us to be in the first place. I want to celebrate with you that we have about 600 adults who are involved in some sort of growth or formation through our ministry, and that through different kinds of groups, or like Greenwood Campus, for example, had 34 people go through our Disciple Bible Study this year. We had 135 of us do some intentional dialogues around tough topics, so that we could prayerfully listen for God's will and grow in our love for each other, even as we talk about tough stuff. Small groups that meet and have met some for a long time, 15 years, that are simply a community within the larger community. And I want to celebrate my small group. Several of you are here this morning. And on Wednesday of this last week, we had a shrimp boil. So, like, just to tell you how awesome, not only how awesome our group is, but just to inspire you of all the kinds of wonderful, yummy things that you can do in a small group. And just it's simply about sharing life. And I was so wise in inviting Fred Genter to be part of our small group because of that right there that you see. So Want to remind you that our new fall growth groups and the catalogs will be out. Those will begin the week of September 5th. And that if you're new to us, we especially want you to look at our Alpha course as a way to connect. The other big portion of our growth part of our ministry is that we have, obviously, as Laura said, a powerful ministry with children and youth. And as we look at our database, we have 550 of them who are actively involved in our ministry. Isn't that remarkable? It's something to celebrate. But our goal is obviously to serve and to help those young people grow, to cooperate with God's grace in shaping who they will become in a powerful sense. Our Early Learning Center had a record 225 children last year, and some days are just like that, aren't they? We had 180 children in our Vacation Bible School this summer, and that took 80 of you to volunteer to make that happen, and we so appreciate the ongoing ministry of many volunteers in our children and youth ministry who make that happen. We had 82 children, Warren's here with us this morning, go to Camp Lucon this summer, and we had 80 young people on summer mission trips, and you'll see a video of them as we conclude the service today as we're going out. That'll be our benediction. I want to remind you coming up for the fall that a rhythm for our youth, the service that happens concurrent with this service in the cup, will start next Sunday at 9:30. And so kind of info for us, and if you want to invite somebody, it's a great week to come. Another week the next week is another event that's great for invite is our Messy Games, and that begins on August 9th, or will be on August 19th. And then we do a discovery weekend for incoming sixth graders. We have 30 sixth graders coming into our student ministry this year, and that will be this coming weekend, and we're so thrilled about that. Finally, we want to move to serve, and I'm going to invite Jason Brown forward. Jason is our executive minister a couple different things. We're going to let him tell about that, but as we often do, we pull things together that make sense here, and Jason oversees, there you are, oversees two parts of our ministry that kind of go together. Jason started, he's like me, you know, like started one way, and then we've kind of done different things. You've been here a little bit longer than me, so 11, almost 12 years, and so tell us what you do here, and kind of how that works.
Yeah, well, first let me say, Lewis, if we're going to have these high-definition screens, we need to invest in some hair and makeup people as well, because...
For you or for me?
I'm not going to say, but...
Let's go.
I have the really great privilege and pleasure of being a part of what God is doing with our kids, with our students especially, and let me very quickly say, I saw some of you guys coming in, was blessed to talk to you, and really excited to hang out with you this weekend, this coming weekend, and especially next Sunday. I also get the great privilege of being a part of what God is doing through our strategic partners in our community and beyond. We believe, and this is sort of a revolutionary belief, I think, that God is always active in all people, in all places, at all times. And one of the things that we are called to do is to discern that, is to become aware of that, and to call that forth. So some of the ways that is happening in our community is through some of our strategic partners. Hotel Inc. continues to do fantastic work with our homeless and precariously housed population. The Foundry just got done with a number of summer camps and have close to 70 students, preschool students, that will be there in the fall. They're talking about expanding classrooms. The BAM team, speaking abroad, the Broadway Abroad mission team just got back from Honduras and spent a week there doing some incredible work in a new location called Roatan. We have also signed up a record number of school mentors. So these are folks that go to the elementary schools, that hang out with students, that in very practical and pragmatic ways say, you matter, and that you are important to me, and that you are important to God. And so we have a number of strategic partnerships that we pursue in the Bowling Green community. One of the newest things that we're doing, and something that I'm incredibly excited about that you've heard a little bit about, is something, a screen printing small business nonprofit called Prints, P-R-I-N-T-S, of Peace. And essentially, this is the collision or combination of two things. Number one, we do a lot of work of redemptive work. We do a lot of work of going into the community and finding folks or encountering folks that have traveled down the Jericho Road and have found themselves hurt or injured. And then what we try to do is embody the call of Jesus with the Good Samaritan and bind up their wounds and restore them. But as we thought about that, we thought, well, what would that look like if rather than meeting them at the end of the Jericho Road after they've been beaten and robbed, that we would go to the beginning of the Jericho Road and contact the Jericho Department of Transportation and say, this road's not safe. Can we work together to make this safe? And so we partnered with the Housing Authority of Bowling Green, who have a number of job training programs, but they didn't have jobs. And so what we hope happens is with Prince of Peace, this screen printing business, that we provide a landing spot for folks that come through the job training programs of the Housing Authority. And they have been in business for about 2 months, and they've already filled close to 20 orders and are developing relationships with other folks. There's a number of churches and sports teams and other organizations that have ordered shirts through Prince of Peace, and in so doing have allowed folks to develop job skills, to build a resume, and to really invest in the folks that the Housing Authority serves and the folks that live in the West End. So it's really great.
That is Jason's baby. That's his brainchild. So we want to congratulate him for that work for sure.
Listen, that's y'all.
And a lot of people who made that happen.
Listen, hang on. I don't know anything about starting a business. I didn't know anything about screen printing.
But you love Jesus, so I mean, that's.
But I do love Jesus, yes, and you love Jesus, and you've been kind enough to guide me in that process. So.
And that is something to really kind of put a fine point on as well. That we're crossing over into a different realm with that. It's sort of a small step. But when you're looking at really changing the economy and creating jobs, that's a different deal. And we're so thrilled that that's just an ongoing continuation of the development of going in a certain direction over time. And that's the beauty of what we don't have it all figured out. And we just kind of keep taking the next step and have the privilege of keep doing that until we get it right and messing it up along the way. And we could tell stories about that as well. Jason's love for Jesus is rivaled almost by his love for NBA. So I ask him one final question and then sort of would put a, kind of tie all this up. But if Broadway were an NBA team, what would it be and why? And the most obvious answer would be your favorite team.
I would love to say that we are like the Utah Jazz. I would love to say that.
You would.
I would love to say. I don't know if I can say it.
Why would you say that?
Oh, that's a great question. So pull up a chair.
We've got to do communion.
Yeah, how much time have we got? Yeah. No. You guys have had breakfast already, right? You're good. No, so essentially, you know, there's a number of ways to build a team in the NBA. Like you get one superstar and you build around them. That's what Cleveland did with LeBron. And there's a second way, which is like you get multiple superstars, which is what the Warriors have done, the Rockets have done to a lesser extent. The Jazz are, of course, you know, just barely behind them, but that's not a joke. but I mean, honestly, particularly working with adults here in the congregation with our students, working with our students. Working with folks in these community partnerships, I mean, we are nothing short of the Golden State Warriors, where there's plenty of all-stars and lots of expertise. And when one of us has a bad game, there's always somebody to come and pick up the team. So definitely the
That's
Warriors.
That's way better than my soccer analogy that I began with. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Let's thank Jason y'all. Brown. You see pictures on the screen. We have 1,150 people who serve through our ministry in some way or another. And that can be through singing in our chancel choir or traveling to Honduras, working with Ashley and Justin, and literally everything in between. It's all the same. It's the privilege of cooperating with God's grace in redemptive ways in the world. And we celebrate that and God's work among us. And we celebrate that ultimately in bringing this all back to the center of this, which is, of course, our relationship with Christ and his work, his spirit moving among us. And so we come to communion telling this story as part of that bigger redemptive story. And we're going to join in the words on the screen for the great Thanksgiving as we prepare to come to the table that Jesus set for us. And so I'll lead us, and then you'll see the parts that are for you to respond. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering and death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, remember me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.